Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Ron Bietti.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. When I had a radio program years ago, we had a song, "Good morning, good morning, good morning, it's time to start your day." And it was really, I think it was a Sesame Street or it was something like that. It was a kids program. And that was their introduction song. And so it kind of reminded me of that when I said, "Good morning. I really miss you guys. I want to see this sanctuary with people in it." And you know what? Good news. Quite possibly, it's possible that maybe this Wednesday and next Sunday, we might be back in here. We don't know yet for sure, but we're thinking that's possible. Now, our president gave a proclamation this week that the churches are to go back. And then we have reason to believe, we were in a meeting yesterday, that quite possibly our governor's going to give us permission this week. And he put us in phase two. So if he does, you'll be watching the internet, be watching social media, because we're going to give an announcement that we are going to be back. And so be ready. And so we'll be making announcements this week, and I hope it's true. Again, we're waiting on our governor. And then secondly, drive-in church tonight. We rearranged the whole parking lot. It's not going to be the same as last week. Everybody will see the screen. We have a 60-foot screen tonight, and you're going to love it. Everybody will see the screen. I'm going to give you a brief, like 20-minute message. And it comes from Thessalonians, and it's talk about the return of Christ. So that'll be tonight at 7:30. Let's pray. Father God, right now, anoint me. As I say every week, Lord, when I am weak, you are strong. And I don't want to ever come to the place where I'm strong when I come into this pulpit. I want to be weak every time because I depend upon your strength. I depend upon your Holy Spirit to take the word that I've been given and just give it to the people. In Jesus' name, amen. I've said it before, but it bears repeating. If I could travel the world, I would travel with three messages. I want the whole world to know these three messages that I have preached before. And the one is how to connect with God. How do you get connected to God? How do you get born again? And those of you that have been here any length of time know that I use two balls of Play-Doh. I use a red one to stand for every man born on the earth and the blue one for the Holy Spirit. And I show you that every man on earth is a red ball of Play-Doh. And when you're born again and ask the Holy Spirit, the blue ball to come from heaven, and that is the color that the Jewish people use for things coming from heaven, comes down and unites with a red ball. You get mixed up in the process of sanctification, become a purple ball. And oh, I would like to preach that everywhere. And secondly, I would like to preach everywhere in the world how easy it is to serve God. Now, for you old timers, I'm going to test you right now. In my message on how easy it is to serve God, I talk about how his yoke is easy, his burden is light, and how that a good dad affirms his kids more than he disciplines them, and how come you're not being affirmed by God every day. And in that message, I tell you how easy it is to serve God. That is, you get up in the morning. If you pray for a person, you serve God one time. If you go help someone do something, you serve God two times. If you share the gospel with someone, you serve God three times. If you go out and give somebody a Christian book, you serve God four times. Now, you've heard all that, and I know that's redundant. I don't want to be redundant today, but I want to ask you older believers a question. How many times did you serve God yesterday? Did you live the day just for yourself, selfishly? How many times did you serve God yesterday? And again, this is not a sermon on or a message on, you know, saved by works. We know that we're not saved by works. We're saved by grace through faith. I don't have to do anything to be accepted by God but to be born again. But if you want to live a life that's pleasing to God and be blessed, you will serve God. So again, I ask you the question, you older Christians, come on, answer it. How many times did you serve God yesterday? And how about the day before? You say, Ron, I've heard that message before. Maybe you've heard the message before, but are you living it? The third message I would preach everywhere would be how to hear the voice of God. Now, it's my opinion that the majority of Christians by far in America have a form of godliness, but they do not have a relationship, an ongoing relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know everything there is to know about relationships, but I do know that you cannot have a healthy relationship with someone else without ongoing communication. It's a necessity. What kind of relationship do you think I could have with my wife if I never communicated with her? Never talked to her? It would not be healthy. Now, I've said before, to know normal, you have to see normal. And that's the very reason why I use so many personal illustrations when I preach. For example, around our house, this is common. Debbie and I will be talking, and I'll say something like, Debbie, I've got to go to the body shop right now and pick up my car. I think it's ready today. And, by the way, the kids are traveling. Father God, in Jesus' name, have your angels with our children today as they travel. Lord, protect them, keep them safe. In Jesus' name, amen. And then we'll go back to talking again. And we might talk for 15 minutes. And then I'll say something like, Debbie, you know, I got to go see Fred and Jane today. I got to go out and talk to them. So I'll be kind of late for lunch. Father God, Debbie, join me right now. In Jesus' name, use me and give me the words to say to them today because I don't know what to say. Amen. Okay, I'll see you later. Make lasagna today. That's the way it goes all the time. That's day in and day out. Some of you never see normal, so you don't know normal. And if you're in my prayer room, this is normal. I'll pray for 15, 20 minutes. And I might stop and go, wait, God, did you just put that thought in my mind? If you did, then can you confirm it? And then I'll take my phone and I'll write it down. Okay, now, Father God, where was I at? I was praying this. I mean, that's normal. Now, hearing the voice of God is what I want to talk to you about today. That's my third message that if I could travel the world, I would preach. Now, this is kind of ongoing from last week because it's the Holy Spirit who gives us the ability to hear the voice of God. Now, without learning how to hear God's voice, it's going to be very, very difficult to walk in the Spirit. It's going to be very, very difficult to pray right. It's going to be very, very difficult to love right. Now, to me, hearing God's voice, this personal relationship with God, is like eating the heart out of a watermelon. The heart is the sweet spot of the watermelon. And that's exactly what it is. Hearing God's voice and having this personal relationship with the Lord is what makes life an adventure. That's what makes it exciting. You get up on Monday morning, you never know what God's going to say to you in that day. You never know what His Spirit's going to direct you to do. That's what makes it so exciting. Now, it also brings reality to these verses right here. Look at Isaiah 30:21. It says, your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it whenever you turn to the right or to the left. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. Can I say it again? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Why do they follow him? Because they can hear his voice. John 10:4. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. John 7:38-39. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, From his innermost being will flow these rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given. Boy, you Pentecostal believers, some of you need to hear this verse. The Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Spirit could not come until Jesus was glorified. And therefore, for those of you that are Pentecostal believers, there's no second work of grace of receiving the Holy Spirit. You receive the Holy Spirit when you're born again, but that's another sermon. Now, when I talk about hearing the voice of God, I'm not talking about hearing an audible voice. See, gang, God's Spirit lives in us. He doesn't have to use the physical ears. He bypasses the physical ears. When we hear something in the world, we hear it. It goes through our physical ears, goes down to our soul and spirit. The soul and spirit transfers it to the mind. When the Holy Spirit lives in you, obviously, he doesn't go through the physical ears. He goes straight to the soul and spirit, and it goes to your mind. That's the way he talks. He just removes one step from the process of hearing. Now, I read a very interesting article in Charisma magazine 2 weeks ago. And it's about how the church in Iran is alive and growing. Now, most of you know it's almost impossible to send missionaries to Iran. You can't get in. If you got in, they'd kill you. It's just almost impossible. And so they are saying, and they're telling us, the people in these countries in the Middle East, that God is appearing to them in dreams. They said even they believe Jesus is appearing to them in person. They believe angels are appearing to them. Does that make sense? Well, if missionaries can't go there, God has other ways, doesn't he? They claim in this article that American Christians are asleep. One American woman in the USA, she begged her husband to move to Iran. She said, because there has been given to American Christians, there's a satanic lullaby that's putting them to sleep. And she said in this article that she perceived the complacency she was seeing in America to be a greater danger and threat than risking her life to share the gospel in Iran. Whoa, digest that for a moment. According to Joel Richardson, who co-produced Sheep Among Wolves, Volume 2, he describes a reoccurring phenomenon in the Middle East where many people are saying that a man in white is appearing to them and speaking the gospel to them. While interviewing a woman in Afghanistan, Richardson referred to cessationist theology, and he said, there's a well-known preacher in America, and he gave his name, and he said, this man says that Jesus Christ is not appearing to Muslims. What do you have to say about that? And she says, I don't know who this man is, and she quoted his name. She says, but I do know that a man in white is going around appearing to Muslims. Now, she says, I don't know who this American preacher is that you're quoting, this famous American preacher. I don't know who he is, but I do know the man in white is coming around. He's visiting people. That almost reminds me of the story and the verse in John 9:25, where this man is healed and he says, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. All I know is I was blind and now I see. I like that. Now, one man in Iran reported that a man in white knocked on his door for, I don't know, several months, every night, and quoted for him the book of John verbatim, and he wrote it out. And he wrote out the whole book of John verbatim, every word for word. He wrote it out. And this man was a man who lived in a hut with no electricity, no gas, no phone. And he wrote out the whole book of John. And as a result of that, the whole village got saved. You say, come on, Ron, come on. Do you expect me to believe that? Well, it depends on what God you serve. Do I believe it? Yes. I mean, that is quite possible. Has it been embellished a little bit? I don't know. But I know that I know that I know that God can do that. The God that I've served for almost 50 years, he's done all kinds of wild, crazy things. So why couldn't he do that? Well, I know one thing for sure. I know the truth of these verses, Hebrews 1:14. Talking about angels, it says, are angels not ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Isn't helping someone write the book of John rendering service? Look at Hebrews 13:2, Message Bible. Be ready with a meal or a bed when it's needed. Why, some have extended hospitality to angels without ever knowing it. See, I eat the heart of the watermelon, that sweet spot, and I go, sweet spot of the watermelon and the sweet part. And I'm eating that sweet part, the heart of the watermelon, going, oh, this is so good. Whoa, man, this is great. Man, want to have some? This is really good stuff. While many Christians are eating the peripheral edges, and they're going, oh, it's okay. Yeah, that's it. See, again, this is the only kind of Christianity I know. I was complaining to Debbie the other day. I said, Debbie, it's been 2 years since I've had one day of vacation, I think. 2 years. And immediately when I thought about that, my mind was taken back to this article in Charisma. These people are getting beaten, thrown in jail. They're getting persecuted for their walk with God. And then I was also taken back right away and thought about a video clip one of the people in this church sent me a few weeks ago from T.D. Jakes. And T.D. Jakes was talking this clip about how we are not suffering for Christ in this country. And that's great. I appreciate that. But he said in the clip something that I could really relate to. He said, it's like getting to heaven and you're around all these saints. And one day you happen into a testimony service. You walk in and they're doing the testimonies. And one guy stands up and says, you know what? He said, man, I was tortured for the sake of Christ, but praise God that I was counted worthy to be tortured. And he sits down, another guy stands up and said, I was thrown in prison for 5 years for preaching the gospel, but praise God I was counted worthy for that. Another one stands up, says, I lost my job, I lost my family. And they stand up one by one. And finally, they look at me and say, Ron, what about you? And I stand up and go, well, you know, 1 year, it was 2 years, I didn't get any vacation. Maybe it's 3 years, I didn't even get a vacation. Can I just sit over here and watch you guys? I mean, I'll just kind of, you know. I mean, not that we want to suffer, we don't want to suffer. But I thought that was very, very interesting. See, I loved the part near the end of the article where they said, quote, in America, Christians have the freedom and time to debate theology, and they question whether women can preach. But in Iran, they said, sharing the gospel is a life and death issue, and the men need all the help they can get. Love it. Love it. And it goes on and says, there's a place for women in leadership. And then the person who was writing the article said, go back to Adam and Eve. God created them as a team to work together. See, let it be said, I believe in miracles. Can I say that again? I believe in miracles. But back to our subject. This is only part one of a two-part series that I will continue next week, hopefully with people in here. Let me give you three reasons why we need to hear the voice of God. Number one, it'll keep you from making a lot of mistakes in life. Man, have I been saved from making a lot of mistakes in life because I've learned to hear God's voice. Decades ago, is even, I think, right before we started, before we started a church, I wanted to serve God and I didn't know what to do with my life. And so one day I made a decision to empty out our savings account, which was just about $4,000 or five. And I was going to buy a bunch of Christian books and some racks where I could take them around to grocery stores and stuff and put them in. I was going to do that for a living. And I didn't pray about it much, and I went ahead and sent my check off, emptied our savings out when we didn't have a penny left. I sent the check off to purchase my books and some racks to put them on. And that night I went to bed, and man, God started speaking to me. He said, "You're making a mistake. You're making a mistake." I could hear his voice. I couldn't sleep. I was tossing and turning in bed. And I got up the next day and I said, "Man, cancel that check. Cancel that check." Long story short, man, I really saved myself some real headaches. And later on, looking back with hindsight, I realized that that would have been a huge mistake. I want to say something that I've really pondered over, wondering if I should even say it, but it's too good of an example to not use. During this coronavirus lockdown, many of us have not been able to go to our jobs or our place of employment. And the government was gracious enough to say they'd give business loans out. And that pertained to churches also. And there are many churches that took those loans, and I do not want to condemn them at all. But when we first started filling out the paperwork to get this excess money from the government to keep our church afloat, Debbie and I both really had a check in our spirit going, "I don't think we should be doing this." In fact, we even waited 2 or 3 days before we started filling the paperwork out. Once we started filling it out, we sent it in, and we were approved for a really large amount of money. And the day came where we had to sign the final papers. And my wife was telling me, "Ron, don't take the loan. Don't take it. Don't take it." And I felt that check in my spirit too. And finally, when it was time for us to sign the paperwork, I said, "We've got to hear God." And that day, my wife came to me and said, "Did you read the devotions this morning? Devotion says, you know, you started out so good. Why are you getting off track?" And it said, "Walk in the Spirit." And I thought, yeah, that's kind of what we're doing here. And then I said something to her. It was so cool. I said, "Debbie, I feel like God just spoke to me. I have no clue. I haven't read Fire Starters now for a week. And I have no clue what today's devotional is in Fire Starters, but I just know it's going to say something about taking this loan." And no joke, I went and got the book, and my wife was standing there going, "Okay, you say God's telling." I said, "God's telling me something." And I had no clue. And I opened up. This was the day's devotions. That day we're supposed to sign the final papers. It said, started out, "Lord, cause me today to be wise with my finances." And then the verse says, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender." Whoa! Whoa! My wife goes, "Oh, Ron, that's so cool." God saved us from I don't know what. But I know we didn't take that loan because we feel like that a lot of you business people need that money a lot worse than we do. God's people are being faithful, and we're making it so far because God's people's giving, and I think that is a miracle in itself. And I could go on and on. I list 3 or 4 examples today of how God has saved me from major mistakes in my life because I heard the voice of God. In a perfect world, if we were walking with God, we'd never make one mistake. Wow. Look at Proverbs 1, 20 through 23. It says, "Lady Wisdom goes out in the street and shouts. At the town center, she makes her speech. In the middle of the traffic, she takes her stand. At the busiest corner, she calls out. Simpletons, how long will you wallow in ignorance? Cynics, how long will you feed your cynicism? Idiots, how long will you refuse to learn? About face, I can revise your life. Look, I'm ready to pour out my spirit on you. I'm ready to tell you all I know." That was the Message Bible. Look in the New American Standard Bible, the same verses. "Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts up her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets." Now, I'm going to talk about this next week. "At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you." Wow. Number 2. The second thing hearing God's voice will do for you, it'll confirm that you're a child of God. Look at John 10:27 one more time. It says, my sheep hear my voice. If you're part of God's sheep, if you're part of God's family, you will hear his voice. It doesn't say you might hear his voice, that you can potentially hear his voice. It says you do hear his voice. Now, some of you are not recognizing that, and that's next week's sermon. And then look at 2 Corinthians 13:5. Test yourselves to make sure you're solid in the faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourselves a regular checkup. You need firsthand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, and it goes on. So, hearing God's voice proves that you're God's kid. I took Josh and Tara through a situation when they were teenagers to show them they could hear God's voice. And I celebrated because when they both heard God's voice on separate occasions, I go, ta-da, you're a child of God. And I quoted that verse to them. I said, that proves you're in God's family. It was a crazy, crazy time. Number three, if you learn to hear God's voice, it will lead you to God's will in your life step by step. I know God's will for the rest of my life. Wow, and so can you. But I got to where I'm at today by obeying the voice of the Lord step by step. Remember, the Bible says that the Word of God is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's not a spotlight, it's a lamp. It just shows two or three steps at a time. Now, the way I got to this place of knowing the Lord's will for the rest of my life is I kept hearing a voice say to me, walk this way, don't walk that way. Do this, don't do that. And a lot of those things he was saying to me at that time made absolutely no sense, but I just obeyed. You know, I think it might have been the same way for Apostle Paul. We know the Apostle Paul had this radical conversion experience with God on the Damascus Road. Radical. And then for years, he just kind of served God wherever he could serve God at. We know he's in the Antioch church after he got some education, some theological education. He got some Christian education, some ministry education. He planted himself in the church at Antioch. And we don't know. We weren't there. But it's quite possible that every Sunday, when they gave an invitation for people to be prayed for, Paul might have been on that line going, can you just pray for me to know God's will? I don't know God's will, and I don't know what he has for my life, and I really want to serve him to the best of my capability. He might have been in that prayer line every week. We don't know how long he was there seeking God's will. But in the interim period, he just kept serving God, serving God, serving God, serving God. And then God found him and spoke to him and told him his will for his life. Now, I want you to see something, and that is that Paul found God's will for his life by simply doing the maybe mundane tasks in the church every day, every week. He found God's will for his life by hearing the Lord speak to him about where he was to go to church at, what he was supposed to be doing at that church. In other words, he was following all these little steps, and those little steps ended up showing him God's ultimate will for his life. Look at Ephesians 4:17-18. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer as the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding and excluded from the supernatural life of God. Now look at that word futility. Don't walk in the futility of your mind. It means don't walk in such a way where, you know, it's profitless. It's vain. It's vanity. It's to no purpose. It's misleading. In other words, before I was saved, I had no purpose in life. I'd get up, eat my Cheerios, go to work, come home, watch TV, play catch with the kids, go to bed, repeat the same process next day, take a vacation and stay in a motor home or something, play dominoes and checkers and stuff, and repeat the whole thing year after year after year. No purpose whatsoever. But look at Ephesians 5:17. So then, do not be foolish. Do not be a fool, but understand what the will of the Lord is. See, when I say you should know the will of the Lord for your life, that discourages some people. They go, Ron, I know you say that, but I don't know how to find God's will. I've tried. I prayed. Man, it's frustrating. Can I tell you something? It's really simple to find God's will for your life. In fact, I have the solution for you, and it's really, really easy. And here it is. You got it? You ready? Here it is. Come back next week, and I'll tell you. Yes. Let's pray and close today this way, and that is, Father God, Lord, I'm so excited about my walk with you. For almost 50 years, I've tried telling people, we know how to do this. We know how to walk with God, and we can teach you how to walk with God if you just listen and practice what we're teaching you. If you're out there today anywhere and you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, you don't have a relationship with Christ, let me take you back to the first teaching that I'd like to travel the world and preach. And that is, today, you've been born in sin. You've been born separated from God. And you're like that red ball of Play-Doh. You're red, but you need to be purple to live with God. So today, if you would just get alone somewhere, or even do it now, you can repeat after me and say, Lord God, I want to start serving you. Send your Holy Spirit and come and live in my body, God. I invite him to come in and start changing me and give me new strength and new dreams and new vision. God, take my life. Live inside of me. The minute that blue ball of Play-Doh comes in and unites with a red ball, you'll start a process of being made into Christ's image. You'll become a purple ball. So today, all you have to do is say, God, I want to serve you. Send the Holy Spirit and take control of my life and lead and guide me, and I'll go with the program, and you'll be saved. So do that, and then call us at 661-325-2251. Call us right now and tell us that you received the Lord. 661-325-2251. And I love you, and I hope to see a lot of you at the drive-in church tonight.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King. Here is